I love to watch all of our children, our young people go to class. Amen. Some are excited. Most are excited. They get mad at me if I don't let them go to class. They don't want to hear me. They want to hear their teacher. You'll turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to also read Ephesians chapter 2. 2 Timothy 1, Ephesians 2. In 2 Timothy 1, we're going to read verse 7, verse 9. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Remember that. If you're fearful, it's not of God. But here's what God gives you, but of power and of love. And listen to this. This is revelation for some of you. And a sound mind. If you don't have a sound mind, you need to talk to God. Where's my sound mind? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But that be thou a partaker. Listen to what he's telling us. Be partaker of what? Of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Ephesians 2, verse 10. It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives, how? In helping others. Helping others. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I just pray right now, God, that you anoint your servant, God, to speak your words here this morning. I feel your awesome presence in this place. God, I know that you want to touch hearts here today, that you want to heal somebody, that you want to give somebody their Holy Spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord, that you want to deliver somebody. Hallelujah, Lord, we're claiming it right now in Jesus' name. Touch and move here today. God, renew our thinking in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning. Faithful service to God. Faithful service to God. God calls you to a service far beyond anything you could ever imagine. Think about that this morning. God calls you to a service far beyond anything you could ever imagine. And understand this morning, folks, you are put on earth to make a contribution. Come on. Hear that today. You are put here on this earth to make a contribution. See, you weren't created just to consume resources. Not just to eat and breathe and take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life. You were created to add to life on earth, not just to take from life. God wants you to give something back. Now here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We prepared for good works and we're to walk in that. You see, these good deeds are your service to the world. And whenever you serve others in any way, you are actually serving God. And you are fulfilling one of your purposes. In Colossians 3, 23 through 24, it says, whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now listen to me today, folks. Hear me. If you're working a job, this verse tells you to work it with all of your heart. If you have a family, take care of your family with all of your heart. Amen? Whatever you're doing, you are to work with all of your heart. All of you managers here, you ought to know this and tell your people that. Okay? Ephesians 6, 5, servants. Is there anybody here that's not a servant? If you don't think you are, you need to understand you are. Servants or workers, wherever field you work in. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. That's your boss. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart. And here's how you do it, as unto God, as unto Christ. Work your job as unto Christ. So what God told Jeremiah is also true for you. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, folks, let me tell you something. The devil don't want you to know that. I said, the devil don't want you to know that. God said, look, before you were even born, I took care of you. I ordained you. And amen? Before you were even formed, God says, I knew you. That's phenomenal. I knew you, and before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained thee. And here God is saying, look, I have this job for you. Before you were even born, and we're like, but I'm not good enough. You're telling God, when he knew what you're capable of, that I'm not good enough. Folks, the devil is a liar. He's a liar. And God has a job for you to do in his kingdom. And God wants to use each and every one of us here today. So if you are thinking anything else, you're listening to a liar. Now you say, well, maybe I just don't want to do it. Well, then God will deal with you. When most people think of this special work, they think of, oh, pastors are ordained, or priests are ordained, or professional clergy are. But God says every member of his family is to minister. In the Bible, the words servant and minister are synonymous, as are service and ministry. If you claim to be a Christian, anybody claim to be a Christian here today? All right. If you claim to be a Christian, you are to minister. And when you're serving, you're ministering. Three of you agree with me. Does anybody else agree with me? See, I agree with you. Now I got to work on the doing part, Pastor. Right? Have you ever wondered why God doesn't just immediately take us to heaven the moment we're saved? Hey, listen, if God didn't need us, folks, why would he just, when we get to holiness, why wouldn't he just take us to heaven? You ever wonder that? That's right. When you think of it, let me know. Listen, brother, when were you saved? Long time ago. Why didn't God just take you to heaven then? Huh? Think about it, folks. We have a job to do. Do you have family members need saved? Do you have family members need saved? Anybody? Family members? How about neighbors? Anybody got neighbors that need saved? Co-workers? Come on. We got a job. That's your mission field. You know, these missionaries come here and they're sent over to different places all around the world and we help support them. Well, you got your own mission field. Amen? So think about it. If God didn't take me as soon as he saved me, he must have something for me to do. Why does God leave us in this fallen world? Because he leaves us here to fulfill his purpose. And once you're saved, folks, once you're saved, God intends to use you for his goal. Okay? The devil don't want that. The devil's just wants you to think, if I just go to church, I sit on the pew for a few hours and go back home and just cruise through the next week, wait till next Sunday, you're being cheated. And you're cheating yourself. The devil is lying to you. God has a purpose, and you need to understand what that purpose is. And you need to fulfill that purpose. Come on, is this okay? Come on, is this all right? Am I stepping on toes? Don't raise your hands. You see, God has a ministry for you in his church and your mission field in this world. And from the beginning of creation, God had a reason for creating man. All right? And that purpose, that reason, is relationship with him and serve him. So as Christians, one of the vital aspects of our fulfilling God's will includes serving him. Amen? It includes serving him. And service gives us a great deal of fulfillment. Okay? That gives meaning to our life. And this is one, listen folks, I think this is one of the biggest problems sometimes with people that are trying to live for God and they get frustrated. It's because you're not doing the will of God. Okay? God saved us. Acts 2:38, when you follow that, that just opens the door. I tell people all the time, I say, listen, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk about the life of Jesus Christ, when he was born, what he did, and how he died. Acts tells you how to be saved. The rest tells you how to stay saved. And it's not just showing up every now and then. It is doing a work for God. Amen? Now, I believe here this morning, I believe a lot of us know this is what I ought to be doing. Pastor's speaking to me. He's right on mark. But will you do it? There are people in the church that are working hard and they're doing several jobs that others could be fulfilling. Come on. They need help. And I'm speaking this morning because I believe God wants to use us all, folks. I know he does, okay? But he's got, okay, come on, Church of Pentecost. We got a big job. And we need all of you on board. Service gives us a great deal of fulfillment. And when you're not doing the things that God asks you to do, you're not fulfilled. And you're just wandering and saying, oh my goodness, this is so frustrating sometimes. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are created differently and for a unique purpose. We are tailor-made, folks, for each individual. Don't just say, look, just, they can handle it, they can do it. Well, there are people that are doing it and many other things. What are you doing? Come on. See, you have to search your heart and to know and follow God's will for you. And not just decide to seek to fulfill your own desires. Anybody can do that, folks. I'll just go to church and I'll do my thing. I'll pay my tithes and the rest of the week is what I want. Boy, it's quiet in here. Can we get an amen? We all are created differently. But are you searching your heart? Are you searching your heart? God, I want to do something for you. God, I want to fulfill. I want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, a lot of times we just look at that, we're faithful. Oh, we just serve God till the end. Or I just received the Holy Ghost and I'm waiting till the end. What are you doing? Are you being that faithful servant in the meantime? Come on, folks. Are you searching your heart and saying, God, I'm going to get on board? What is my purpose? What has God called me to be or to do in the body of Christ? Have you ever asked yourself that? How can I be a blessing to Church of Pentecost? How can I make Church of Pentecost the best it is? The best there is. What is my purpose? What has God called me to be or to do in His body? Am I here? Am I where He wants me to be? Am I doing what He has intended for me to do? You see, folks, all these questions this morning, you have to answer. We say, well, why? Because as different as we are, so are our abilities. So are our interests. So are our talents and our gifts and our personality. Each uniquely perfect, each uniquely beautiful, all, hear me, all intended for one purpose, to be used for His glory. And so by having a clear understanding of this, you enter fully into who you are and you can discover God's will for your life. Let me tell you something, folks. It's scary when God is wanting you to do something. And you think about how your life is right now. And you like your life. You've got it set up just how you want. And God wants to interrupt that. And a lot of times we're not up for that. And it's scary. When it was time for me to come to Cleveland, folks, and to pastor a church, I've never did that before. I was very involved in helping my pastor do things in Rittman, Ohio. But here, I'm going to come up here and start pastoring people and studying for two or three messages a week. And help lead and guide people. That's a scary place. But let me tell you something, folks. There's no more fulfillment in your life than to be right in the middle where God wants you to be. And I have had those times and frustration and tell myself, who do you think you are? And God has to remind me, you're mine. And you're right where I want you. Come on. So I want to encourage you here today, folks, to understand, find God, where do I need to fit in? Or what can I do? How can I be a blessing to your kingdom? And I promise you, it's going to rock your world. It's going to shake your world up. But when you're right in what God wants you to do, you're going to be happy and content. And that's exactly what the devil does not want. Pastor, I'm not capable of doing this. And I'm not capable. Listen, folks. Noah was not an ark builder. Until God came along. God will help you and put you right in a place where he wants you to be. And he'll help you. Moses was not a leader until God came along. And you can go on down the line throughout the Bible, folks. God will take you places you never dreamed of. If you just say, God, I want to do something. I'll start out doing this. And God, you can just take me right where you want me to be. But you got to start somewhere. Ephesians 1 verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We have been made acceptable in the body of Christ. But God loves you, for he loves you. His love for you is unconditional. See, even when we're not doing things that we should be doing, God knows. He still loves you. Just as like your children, sometimes they frustrate you and upset you. They don't do what you told them to do until what you ask them to do. You still love them, but you've got to push them. Why? Why do you push them? You love them. What does pushing them do? Makes them better. Maybe they don't want to go to college. Maybe they're done with school. Go to college. Why? You want them to be better. Why'd you make them do chores? Because you don't want to be lazy. Come on. God is pushing this morning. God loves you. But he wants you to do his will. He doesn't want you just to skate along. Hey, I'll just cruise. Let everybody else do the work. You know, years ago, I need to dig it out sometimes, but I did. When I was in the storefront, I had them shut the lights down except for right over me. And I sat in this chair, and I did a story on the little red hen. Anybody remember the story of the little red hen? Did anybody want to help the little red hen? Who will help me plant the seed? Who will help me pick it? Who will help me thresh it? Not I, not I. Who will help me eat it? I will, I will. And listen, folks, here's God to say, look, folks, who wants to enjoy the benefits? I do, I do. Who wants to help? Well, I got my own life. Who wants to help in the growth of the church? Not I, not I. But I love it when things grow and we get a bigger church and there's tons of people. I love it. Is this okay? Amen. God loves you unconditionally, but God still wants you to work for his kingdom. What really pleases God is a life of love, service, and praise. And we are called to a life of kindness and total submission to God. See, your service to God is exemplified by your actions in your family, in your community, and in your place of work. I'll say that again. Your service to God is exemplified by your actions in your family, community, and place of work. Serving God shouldn't be done for recognition or praise. It shouldn't be self-seeking, not because you want something from him in return. Serve selflessly. Seek his kingdom, and every other thing shall be added unto you. For example, your favorite cup of coffee that you use for coffee. My wife brought me a cup this morning. It wasn't one I always use. I said, where's my cup? I like my cup. See, Nate bought me one for Father's Day. She wants me to use that. I was getting around to it. But your favorite cup somehow got cracked. And when you fill coffee and you set it on your little stand, next thing you know, it's leaking. Wherever you set it, it leaks it. Do you keep that cup and you keep washing it every day even though you are not using it? Or do you get a new cup? When it's cracked and it's leaking, it's time to throw it away, isn't it? Right? And you get one that'll serve your purpose. You'll get one that'll keep your coffee in it and won't leak it everywhere. Right? You'll probably buy a new cup. And you'll take care of that new cup like you did that old cup. You see, the same thing applies, folks, to us when you're fulfilling your purpose. When you're fulfilling your purpose, God takes care of you. And he is concerned for you. In whatever ministry God called you to serve in, God expects us to be faithful right where he placed us. So in what God does wish each of us to be faithful in our place that he put us. He wants you to be faithful. So what happens if we're not faithful? God still loves you. But he's going to find somebody who's going to fulfill that purpose. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So if we're, what God expects of us, he wants us to be faithful. Amen? He wants us to have faithful in our attendance. He also wants us to be faithful in a Bible study. Okay, in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What other area does God want us to be faithful in? He wants us to be faithful in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. He also wants us to be faithful in our moral lives. In 2 Timothy 2:19-22, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared. There we go. Verse 21 again. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that are called on the Lord out of the pure heart. God also wants us to be faithful in serving others. Amen. In James 2:14-18. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has a need, food, or clothing, or you could say a Bible study. And you say goodbye and have a good day and stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Amen. Folks, we have to not just say this needs to be done. We have to do it. Come on. It's easy to sit back and say, why doesn't somebody do this? Or why doesn't somebody reach out to that place? Or why doesn't somebody help these people? What are you doing? You got faith? Good. Where's your actions? What's the Lord say there? I will show you my faith. How? By my good deeds, by my actions. Amen? God also wants us to have faith in sharing the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples. Have you done that? Have you made a disciple? Where? Of all nations, all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says here, look, teach these new disciples. That's Bible studies. Teach them what? To obey all the commands that I have given you. Don't tell somebody else they need to do something if you're not doing it. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, he's basically saying, look, you can do it because I'm with you. I'm with you. You see, it's been reported, folks, that roughly 3 billion souls will die without hearing the gospel. 330 million deities receive the rituals and sacrifices from those who are ignorant of the loving God. 821 million Muslims bow in prayer toward Mecca 5 times a day. Millions of Americans no longer claim any religious affiliation, but live from day to day without any commitment to the saving of their soul. Folks, will God find you a faithful servant? Will God be able to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are you his servant? Or are you just somebody that followed Acts 2:38? That's important. It's important. But there's other things that need to be done. Will God find you a faithful servant? You see, we should walk unanimously bringing our different gifts and our strengths, putting it together as a force so that we can build the church, which is the body of Christ. This is his church. This is the body of Christ. God created the church. It is necessary. Some people try to say, oh, I don't need a church. Yes, you do. You're telling God you don't need something he created? So let's not just have a lot to live on, but a lot to live for. Serving God from the depths of our hearts by figuring out what you love to do, what God has deposited in you, and use it for the glory of his name. Use it for his name. Brother Bernard made a statement here recently. He says, when everyone is productive in the kingdom, then the church can truly grow to maturity as God intends. Local churches will become strong, and the worldwide church will fulfill its divine mission. How does that happen? When everyone is productive in the kingdom. Are you productive? Or are you just riding the skirt tails of others? Folks, understand that we have a good church here today. Don't get me wrong. We have good people. We have good talent. We have good principle. Good worship services. We have good organization. But we can do better. And God has called us to excellency. We are to go beyond, surpass greatness, have far more abundant, exceed the ordinary, and go beyond measure. And when we get to the place that we no longer feel the need to improve, then we will become stale, we will become stagnant in our service to God and man. We have reached our comfort zone. You see, this comfort zone is a place where we can enjoy and not need to do a lot to maintain. But I say it's time to get out of the box, to break out of our comfort zones. We can get too comfortable at ease in Zion. You see, but God knows how to shake us. And God knows how to wake us to our potential. In living for God, we should be ever learning, forever progressing, improving with age, faithfully serve God. Here's some areas I want to talk about. We need to present the purpose of the church to the community for each other. You see, our presentation will determine how we are received. Isn't that true? You know, it depends on how somebody talks to you, how you receive them. Isn't it true? Somebody comes up, starts screaming at you, you just turn them off, click. But if they come up and talk to you, man, you're a good person, and they start kind of complimenting you, like, yeah, I like this person. Talk on. Right? It's important how we present things. Our presentation will determine how we're received. You don't go out here and try to tell people they need God and come to your church and get involved when you won't get involved. Well, why don't you go to church every time the doors are open? Well, I'm beyond that. But you need it. And you may not necessarily say that to them, but your actions speak it. How faithful are you to church? Do you feel church is important? Oh, it's getting quiet, folks. Come on, folks. Is this Bible? Is it Bible? Do we present a caring, loving, truth-loving group of people? When they see us, do they see that? Do they say, those people out in there at Church of Pentecost are nice people? They love you. They'll help you. Or do they say, they're a bunch of snobs? Do our commitments, hear me, does our service match our conversation? Thank you for whoever that was. I'll say it again. Does our service match our conversation? See, it's one thing to talk about it, another thing to do it. Does our labor and our giving measure up to our actual production and performance? You see, folks, when people visit this good church, where do they see and hear from us? We are constantly making a case for the church by our daily presentation. So I ask you, do your neighbors, would they want what you have? Your daily presentation, what do they hear when their windows are up? Huh? You ever hear some neighbors out start yelling? And you're like, what's going on out there? Huh? So think about it, folks. Bible says we are written epistles read of all men. What do your neighbors think of you? What are you presenting to them? How about your coworkers? How do you treat your boss? Huh? You tell them they need to come to your church, but you scream at the boss all the time. Or you tell people at your work you need to come to church, but you miss work all the time. Huh? Remember that scripture I talked about? Serve. What about your family? Do they see you trying to get along with them? Or do they see you always arguing, frustrating them? Come on. Our presentation includes the demonstration of Christ-like values. Do people know what you used to be and now see what you are today and say, what has changed about them? I don't know what it is, but I like it, and I'm going to watch it. They walk into work on Monday with a smile. And they talk about how great church was. Or they hear you complaining about the pastor, having him for lunch. Come on. Bible-based worship and the unmistakable concern we have for others is very important. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Here it is. Your bodies. What? A living sacrifice. Does God see that in us? Well, they need people to help clean a church. Somebody else can do it. Or do you take that body and say, come on, you're going to church? Iron that later. A living sacrifice, holy and holy, acceptable unto God. Now listen to this. It says, this verse says, which is your reasonable, sir, it's only reasonable that you present your body as a living sacrifice. That's only reasonable, God says. And know what else he says? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? What is acceptable? What is the good will of God? By you living, being a living sacrifice. Okay, here's how you understand that, okay? And be not conformed to this world. Okay, what's the world want? They want everything nice. They work hard. They don't even go to church because they're too busy working. They want their nice homes. They want their nice cars. They want their boats, their camping places, all these other kind of things. That's what the world wants. The Bible says, here's how we become that living sacrifice, is be not conformed to the world. Don't do what they're doing, but be ye transformed. How do I get away from not doing what the world wants? Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, folks, we got to think different. Well, the world, they want their retirement. They want this. They want all that. Okay, but I got to have a renewed mind. I got to think different. That's how we got to do it. We got to think differently. And when we think differently, we begin to make our life a living sacrifice. Amen. We're going to find out that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, do your neighbors even know you're apostolic? Do they know that you believe in God, you love God? How about your coworkers? Do they know you serve God? Do your family members call you a hypocrite? I'm just asking. You see what I'm saying? We got to have a new way of thinking. We got to think the way God thinks. And we know through reading through the Word, folks, that God did things that were just crazy. God spit in dirt and made mud and put it on a guy's eyes who was blind. Do you know any doctor that does that? Because God thinks different than we do. Right? He doesn't do things the way we do. You know, at the time, people thought Noah was crazy for building this ark in his backyard. God does things different. So we have to think like God. Renew that mind, because he wants you to be a living sacrifice. So when people visit, we need to give them the very best presentation we possibly can. When people walk through that door, they need to know Church of Pentecost is a different place to be. They need to know you care. You need to go out of your way and say hi to them. And maybe even strike up a conversation. And maybe even trade telephone numbers. And maybe even do a Bible study with them. Maybe. Whatever. Is this all right? When they visit, we want them to always remember, there was a place I felt love. There was a place where I felt people cared. Our service must be power-packed. It must be well-planned. It must be innovative. It must be friendly. We have to have great worship sessions. We have to meet the needs of others, of those attending, regardless of age, gender, or background. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Folks, we've done good, but we must do better. Amen? Folks, there is no place like this place, anywhere near this place. So this must be the place. I like that, don't you? I'll say it again. There's no place like this place, anywhere near this place. So this must be the place. We need to repeat this. We need to believe this and sell this to our mission field. You need to tell people that you are near your mission field. Folks, there's no place like our church. Anywhere near. So this has got to be the place. Can you believe that? Can you sell that to your mission field? We need to repeat this. Believe it. Sell it. Take it to your family members, your neighbors, your coworkers. We are in business, folks. Hear me. We are in business. But ours is not a profit-run business. It is a soul-winning business. We all, hear me, we all need to commit to faithful service to make a good church a better church. Here's the bottom line. Commitment to make a good church better, we must commit to soul winning. We must commit to service of God. All things I have spoke of mean nothing without genuine desire and a heated passion to see men and women saved. Come on. It is our goal as a church to see our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our coworkers, and new acquaintances filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. We must commit to prayer. Amen. Not just memorized stanza or poem that is heartfelt, but I'm talking about biblical-based intercessory prayer for the lost. We must commit to clean up our conversation concerning the church. What is he talking about? I said we must commit to clean up our conversations concerning the church in order to get better. See, the things that need adjusting and realigned is the idle talk and critical attitudes, because it only adds to problems. We must commit to leading people to Jesus through the Bible study. Amen. We must commit to fast with our prayer and humble ourselves and submit under the authority of God. Hallelujah, folks. Hear me today. Our commitments must include paying our tithes and giving our offerings to support and expand the kingdom of God. We must be sensitive to the needs and learn to give of our substance to the kingdom of God in order to expand and explode into revival. Our ministry is always of a spiritual nature, dealing with things of eternal value, the souls of men and women. Hallelujah. We must get a glimpse of hell, folks, and we must understand that many people will go there if we do not commit to faithful service in the kingdom of God. Like I said, we're a good church. We've been a good church. But we need to notice it is the parable of the talents. The master says to the one who made commitments and kept them. He said in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Who did he say that to? To the ones that used their talent, not to the one who hid it in the ground. Not just a good and faithful servant. Folks, he's not saying, look, he didn't say, oh, you're a good servant. He said, you're a good and faithful servant. It's better than just being good. Like I said, we're good. I want to be good and faithful. The servant with only one talent did not lose anything. Hear me. The servant with the one talent, he didn't lose anything. He held on to his own. But he returned it back in full. He did not show profit. And in Matthew 25:30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It sounds to me like the master didn't like the fact that he just hid it. He didn't do it. He didn't try to make it better. Folks, God has given us all a talent. And if you'll use that talent, God will say, you're a good and faithful servant, and I'm going to give you more. In 1 Timothy 2:3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Not just good, but good and acceptable. In other words, better. Hebrews 13:15-16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do good and communicate, forget not. I like that. But do good and communicate. Don't forget to communicate. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. More than just doing good is also communicating. That makes it better. So we as a church cannot be satisfied with just being a good church. I cannot be satisfied with being a good pastor. You cannot be satisfied with being a good Sunday school teacher or youth worker or musician, singer, prayer warrior, small group leader, church member. We must be more than good. Amen? We must get better. And with that, commit to always do your best. Let's stand. Listen to me this morning. Good, better, and now best. Amen? The best church, the best youth group, the best pastor, the best teacher, director, singer, choir, whatever, be the best. Amen? We have to be the best. Amen. God wants that from us. God desires that from us. Amen. Listen, I just want to open this altar up. And I just wonder if there's a piece of people come up here and say, God, I can be better. I can do much better. And this is what I want to talk about tonight. Listen, folks. If you feel you're not good enough, God wants to speak to you tonight. He's helping you right now to see, God, I've got to try harder. And you know, listen, sometimes we think it's like that New Year's resolution thing. I'm going to do this, and we know we'll do it for maybe a day or two or a week or two or month, and then we back out of it. But God wants you to do better than that. God wants you to know, look, I will be with you always. In of yourself, you can't do it, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Here, this altar's open. Come on, folks. Can you come up here and say, God, I'm going to be better. With your help, I'm going to get better. Come on, this altar's open.